Sunday and next Sunday as we retrace the steps of our Lord in observing His suffering and His passion. We will go from one extreme to the other within these 7 days as our Lord lived out His last week on earth. He knew what it was like to be at the bottom of the deepest, darkest valley. But the good news of the resurrection is He also knows what it's like to celebrate the greatest victory the world has ever known, and that is resurrection. So if you're in a deep and a dark place today, it is a sign. It is only temporary. You're not meant to stay there, but you will rise from that dark place to the top of a mountain real soon. This is Palm Sunday. It is the day Jesus came to town. And today, I'm talking about Jesus, Son of Man. Now, next Sunday, we will be celebrating Jesus, the Son of God. But He was both. He was completely and fully God and completely and fully man. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body. Now, being the Son of God, which He was, that makes Him divine. But being the Son of Man, which He was, makes Him human. The New Testament says that we are partakers of His divine nature. But none of us would have had a chance to ever get close to partaking in His divine nature unless He first partook of our human nature. Today, we're celebrating His humanity. He became one of us. Now, because He was God divine, He knows our hearts. But because He was human, the Son of Man, and that is also a proper title given to Him, being the Son of Man, He knows our own nature firsthand. Jesus came to earth as a man, so God would know what it's like to walk a mile in our shoes. What a great love story. Now, my message today is going to be brief because the highlight of our service is partaking of the Lord's Supper. The table is spread before us. How appropriate that we will do this at the beginning of Passion Week, celebrating all of the good things God has prepared for us. And I would like to take just a few minutes to deliver a message that I received from secular media. It has to do with Jesus, of course, and it is completely aligned with God's Word. It comes from CNN.com. Now, rarely can you find much truth. You know, maybe even fake news, some people say out there from time to time. The Lord gave me this word. I've never heard anybody say it. I'm the originator of it. Give me credit. In this day and age where there's all of the fake news, don't know what to believe, who's right and who's wrong, here's what is original to me. A fact is a fact only if it can be proven. The truth is the truth even without proof. And even though CNN gave the message this morning, it is the truth. And you will know it as we go along. But just a few days ago, CNN.com had a story called Five Things You Didn't Know About Jesus. And it is little known facts about him. I'm sure many of you are aware of most of this, but I thought how interesting that even secular media, many who are filled with atheists and agnostics, cannot deny that Jesus was a real man, that he really did come to earth and live here, and they have to deal with that even at a secular level. And so they gave a story I thought was interesting. I'm going to share the five things with you. Five things you didn't know about Jesus. Number one, Jesus came from a nowhere little town. And of course, we know it's Bethlehem. It's part of the region of Nazareth. A nowhere little town. The reason that is significant to me is because I can identify with that. The world can identify with that. He came from obscurity. He came from insignificance. He was born in a place that had never been known for anything in terms of a major event in the history of the world. And CNN said about this truth, Jesus came from a nowhere little town. Nearly all modern-day archaeologists agree the town and the region of Nazareth had only 200 to 400 people. It was a small town. It would be like, and I appreciate this about God and the Son of God coming to a small place. Hey, he will visit you in a small place. You don't have to be in the Big Apple in New York City or in any of the major cities of the world where only Jesus is exclusively found there. No, he will find you in obscurity. He will find you in a place nobody would think he would show up. If you're there, he will make his way to where you are. It would be like if he were born today, the baby Christ child born today, Timmonsville, Effingham, Evergreen, Coward. A small place, not known for anything much, just a very small population there. But he comes to obscure small places. Your problem is not so small, he's not aware of it. He will show up where you are. He came from a nowhere little town. And then the second fact CNN gave is Jesus probably didn't know everything. Now, of course, God is omniscient, all-knowing. But the Bible says for 33 years, he laid that down. He willingly laid down his deity, and he became a human, just like us. And as a baby, and during his formative years, and his years of growing into adulthood, being the Son of Man, he did not know everything. Now, I can't explain theologically everything. That's why faith is so important. I don't require myself to understand everything. My faith trusts even what I don't understand. But even in the Old Testament, God gave Abraham a test. It was the test of his faith. It was the test of a lifetime. The son God had given Abraham, Isaac, born of the Spirit. God tested Abraham and said, offer him back to me on an altar of sacrifice. And when Abraham passed that test, and of course God stayed his hand before the knife reached the heart of Isaac the son, God said, now I know that you trust me. Now, of course, God in his divinity always knows everything all the time, but I believe it was a type and a shadow of Jesus, the Son of God, who would come and also be called the Son of Man. He would identify with Adam, the first man. And Jesus did not know everything. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So you can't increase in anything if you already have all there is to have of that thing. I believe he had to take baths because he got dirty. His mother had to change a diaper or two when he was a baby. He had to be taught the language of his native tongue. He had to be taught a skill set, which he did. He had to live, and I appreciate all of this, in his humanity. Today we're celebrating his humanity, the fact that he identified with us. And because he did that, now we can identify with God. He chose to have a relationship with us first and then build a bridge that we might have a relationship with him as God. CNN said, if he had a human consciousness, and human beings have it, he needed to be taught something before he could know it. Luke says he progressed. That means he learned things. And so I appreciate that about Jesus. He was God, fully God, but he laid it down and became one of us, even knowing the requirement would be having to learn natural things. Jesus probably didn't know everything when he was a baby. And then thirdly, CNN said Jesus was tough. From age 12 to 30, Jesus worked in Nazareth as a carpenter. In fact, when he became known as the Son of Man and the Son of God publicly, his critics would say, is this not the carpenter? The original Greek word for carpenter is tekton. CNN.com tells us this. I printed it out from their online. The word used for Jesus' profession in the original Greek is tekton. The traditional translation is carpenter, but most contemporary scholars say it's more than a general craftsman. It is a laborer to the fullest extent of the word. It meant probably he made wood furniture, plows, stone walls, and even house construction. Jesus was tough. He was a laborer. Aren't you glad? He identified, well, God laid deity down to go to work with us and for us. Today we're celebrating his humanity. It's Palm Sunday, and his humanity is showing as he comes to town. It's tested this week, and then his divinity is in full light 1 week from today on Resurrection Sunday. Fourthly, CNN said, and I love this, he was a man, the Son of Man. CNN said, Jesus needed me time. Have you ever needed some me time? Now, he was the Son of God. We're not quite that yet at the level he was. But even though he was the Son of God, he was for 33 years Son of Man, and he needed some time alone with his Father. Now, me time is okay if it's not selfish. You don't need to claim me time so you can get over in the corner and pout about everything going wrong in your day. That wasn't what Jesus did. CNN said he needed me time. He needed to withdraw from the crowds and even from his disciples occasionally. Today, by the Sea of Galilee, and Pastor Steve said some incredible things a couple of Wednesday nights ago about the Sea of Galilee and how it provided vocations and a livelihood for all of those who would fish and trade at the seashore around that great body of water in Israel. By the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus carried out much of his ministry, you can see even today on a map how close the towns were literally within walking distance, and how natural it would have been for the crowds to press in on Jesus. CNN talking this way. The crowds pressing in on him. And right around the Sea of Galilee is a cave called the Eremos Cave. It's from the word desolate or solitary. We get the English word hermit. That's how isolated it can be in this cave. Many people think Jesus would go there on occasions and find a solitary place for his me time. He needed time alone in prayer with the Father. I cannot believe CNN. I'm just reading you right here. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he needed time alone in prayer with the Father. That's from CNN right there. I love it because they don't know what else to do with Jesus. Just tell the truth. A fact is a fact only if it can be proven. And even if it can, a fact can change and a fact can be manipulated. But the truth is the truth even without proof. And when it's the truth, you just have to say it. So, Jesus came from a nowhere little town. Jesus probably didn't know everything, especially in his younger formative years. Jesus was tough. He worked for us and with us. Jesus needed me time. Time away from the crowd and the hustle and the bustle and the pressures of the day. And he needed to spend some alone time with the Father. And then finally, Jesus didn't want to die. That's human. That's human. As a pastor over many years, I've been by the bedside of people who were breathing their last breath. And more than one time, they have said to me, I'm ready to go, but I just don't want to die. I could call names and you would know them and love them. Jesus was just like us. He was the Son of Man. He was human. He didn't want to die. And we see that even in scriptures. As he approached the time of his death, he prays hard in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus prayed to the Father and said, remove this cup. CNN said it was a blunt prayer addressed to the Father, whom he affectionately calls Abba. And clearly, he doesn't want to die. Unlike the way some Christians portray Jesus as courting death or even desiring it, that's a martyr syndrome. Like any human being, the idea of death was terrifying. And he said, quote, my soul is sorrowful, even unto death. In other words, he was saying, I'm so sad that it feels like I'm going to die. But he realized that this is the will of the Father. And so CNN says he assents to death even on a cross. But how human was he? He didn't want to die, just like the rest of them. Now, this is quite a surprise to everybody, but we have flown in a very special lady to sing a song at this time. She's standing right around the wings here backstage. She's on the way out now. Loretta Lynn, and everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody. Wouldn't that be great? What if she? I was about to believe that myself. You know that song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Jesus was just like we are. He didn't want to die. But as he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with the Father, and men, he reached the place. Probably struggled all of his adult life, and especially during his years of ministry when he would learn more about himself and his role in the Father's plan and why he was here in the earth. He learned from the Father during his me time alone in prayer, in a solitary place. And then he realized it's the Father's will. This is why he sent me. I have one last assignment, and that is to be crucified. My blood will be spilled to pay the price for the sins of the world. This is why I came. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, to put it in human terms of the vernacular of our day, I believe after he agonized so greatly in the garden, so fretful over what was about to happen to him, that was the Son of Man doing this now. He was God, but he was human for 33 years, and he reached a place of such intense prayer and intercession, begging God, the Father, not to require this of him. I mean, that's human. So intense was his intercession that the sweat beads forming on the brow of his head became blood droplets. Capillaries in the forehead burst, and blood became drops of sweat on his forehead. And when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, he was saying in our vernacular, okay, let's do this. Okay, let's do this. And he willingly. There's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to set him free, but it would have been at our expense. We would never have known divine nature. The only way we could enjoy what has been provided for us today is he first tasted of human nature. God became a man so he would know what it's like to walk a mile in our shoes. The ushers are coming, and we're going to prepare to take communion. Here's how human Jesus was. He endured hardships. He felt pain. He felt loneliness. He knew temptation. He knew personal attack. He knew what the betrayal of a close friend felt like. He knew what rejection felt like. He was Jesus. Today on Palm Sunday, we celebrate all that he was as the Son of Man. We give thanks that he embraced human nature so that we could in turn embrace divine nature. As the ushers serve us, remain seated, receive the bread and the cup, and hold it, and we will partake of the Lord's Supper together in just a moment. Lawrence Tuning is singing a song he wrote. It is a classic, one of my favorites, and it's so appropriate during this season of year.